your look at the Chicago Bulls from a fan's perspective. I'm your host, Nils, and joining me, the newly married man, Mitch. Congratulations, first and foremost.
Buddy.
Now, I wasn't able to attend the wedding, and I know this is going to be hard to prove, but my actual wedding gift to you was tonight's Bulls win.
Thank you, sir. I did not know that you could control NBA events before they happen, but...
Yeah, you know, I got my buddy Adam, a.k.a. Kamish, Adam Silver, on the phone, and I was like, hey, it's my boy's wedding day, you know, I can't make it out to Florida for the event. The best thing I could give him is a Bulls victory.
Well, I'm glad you told me about this after we went to Vegas, so that was good on you, good on you.
Well, I hope you enjoy. So let's recap before we get into it. Bulls withstand 30 points from Kyrie Irving to take a 1-0 series lead against the Cavaliers, winning tonight 99-92. Bulls led the entire game with their biggest lead climbing as high as 15 points in the third quarter. Derrick Rose with 25 points and only 2 turnovers. Pau Gasol with a double-double of 21 points and 10 rebounds. And Jimmy Butler, 20 points, including a decent job on LeBron and the biggest basket down the stretch for the Bulls to stave off the Cavs' final run. Mitch, emotions are running high right now, as they tend to do in playoff victories against LeBron. But as a Bulls fan, can you coherently tell me what your favorite part about tonight's game was?
Well, I mean, kind of the whole thing. going to Cleveland, not trailing the whole game, grabbing two big leads, the return of Jimmy Clamps. It all was great. It was all great.
It was one of those games where the Bulls got off to probably the best start you could ask for, right? You know, Dunleavy's hitting threes. Gasol had a post-up on a smaller defender. Rose hit a couple of nice baskets. Next thing you know, it's 10-2 right away. Bulls look like they're firmly in control. And, you know, that's the biggest thing, not to dig themselves too deep of a hole to start off the game, because you know that the Cavs are going to be well-rested. Given that they've had a full week off, and they're probably going to feed off the energy of the crowd, and the Bulls took them right out of it.
Yeah, Mike Dunleavy basically hitting everything in the first quarter was big for the Bulls. I think he went 5 for 5 in the first quarter. And the Bulls just started off well. Kyrie didn't get warmed up until kind of late in the game. You kind of want to say that LeBron had an off game, but, you know.
The dude had 19 and 15.
Yeah, 19, 15, and 9. But, you know, the Bulls turned them over 6 times. Had 2 big turnovers late. Obviously, Jimmy made them work going 9 for 22. So it was a good situation for the Bulls. The whole thing was my favorite part of the game. I can't complain about anything.
You know what's nuts? You know, definitely Dap is deserved to Jimmy, given the effort that he put in and was still able to score 20 points on the offensive end. So he still was a factor on the other side of the ball. But it's crazy because, you know, LeBron, you know, gets him in the post. And like I tweeted out earlier, you know, Jimmy's probably our strongest player, right? Mm-hmm. And LeBron makes him look like a child at times when he's on the block.
He definitely makes him work, though. I mean, there are going to be a lot of NBA players that you get them on the block and get them down low. If they get too low of a position, it's going to be tough to stop them. So, you know, I think Jimmy did a great job. Obviously, you know, a lot of people talked about how tired he was. A lot of people talked about how on Twitter that maybe Tony should be getting a little bit more in terms of shots at LeBron. But I think it's going to be on Jimmy. I mean, this is the biggest task of the entire playoffs for the entire team is Jimmy's defense and LeBron making them work. And game two is going to be crazy. You know, you're going to have a revenge LeBron game, and we'll see if Jimmy is up to the task of at least making LeBron work. Don't look at the box score. Don't look at the end result. Look at the process. End result in terms of the game when you're losing. Look at the process. That's the way you need to evaluate Jimmy Butler, and we'll see if he's up for the task. I think he is.
Let's talk about the Pau Gasol, Derrick Rose pick and pop, because that really helped the Bulls create some distance in that third quarter. And really, that was probably my favorite sequence in that third quarter when you saw that lead balloon to 15, basically on Gasol going Spanish Bill Wennington on us, just automatic from the mid-range. I think in that third quarter, he was 6 for 8 for 13 points. The Rose-Gasol pick and pop was virtually unstoppable when the Cavs don't really have much of an interior defense. You know, as long as Rose or even Butler, you know, keeps attacking the rim, drawing defenders in, and either finishing at the rim or kicking out to Gasol or an open shooter, I don't think that the Cavs can really stop us on defense.
Yeah, it's really not the interior defense, right? It's the perimeter defense, because if Derek can get into the lane, if he's kind of bypassing that first guy at ease, it causes those interior defenders to kind of draw in, and then Powell's kind of out there by himself hitting jump shots. A lot of people talk about how the mid-range shot is not the best shot in the world. It's a little, you know, you'd rather take a three because it's worth 3 points, or a dunk because it's easier. But when you have NBA players, elite NBA players, elite NBA jump shooters taking those open twos, that's a good look, and it's always going to be a good look. And you got to give credit to Tibbs. Tibbs, you know, people always rip the defense offense. I mean, Tibbs went to that pick and roll when it was needed in the third to build that lead up, and went back to it in the fourth with Powell.
I gotta say though, you know, I understand what you're saying, that it's more that those open mid-range jumpers by Powell are a product of poor perimeter defense. But at the same time, you know, if I'm a guard covering the ball handler, and I know that I have a DeAndre Jordan behind me, or even a John Henson, if you will, that I can kind of hang back and at least, you know, cover that switch and contest that mid range. You know, that it's much easier to cover.
Yeah, you're right.
Cavs don't have that, which is, you know, obviously good news for us. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this next point. You know, Pau Gasol going off there to really lead the Bulls in that third quarter. Fred from Chicago Bullseye called me out on this on Twitter earlier. So I have to say, if Powell can keep up this production and efficiency without killing us on the defensive end as much, I think I owe him an apology.
Yeah, and you know what? Definitely the Cavs are trying to put Powell in the pick and roll. So, you know, it's still trick or treat Powell. But I think for the entire season, the treat has been way bigger than the trick. And he was the reason why obviously there are a lot of reasons why the Bulls won the game. I don't want to say he's the reason why the Bulls are game, but he was a giant factor. The Bulls don't win this game without Powell just kind of controlling the game in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm. Lo siento is how you say I'm sorry in Spanish. So I'm perfectly happy admitting I was wrong, and will take back everything bad I've said about Powell. if he's been playing possum this entire time and was just waiting to step up in this Cavs series.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, this is, you know, basketball. You know, I look at basketball in two ways. You know, first off, basketball is like a jigsaw puzzle, and you know, you try to fit the pieces in. So certain pieces may be bigger than others, but they may not fit as well. Additionally, I think basketball is about matchups, and Powell has always been good. And the pick and pop, and the pick and roll, the high pick and roll. You know, you think back to that game. Maybe it was in November and December when you had that overtime game against Dallas that we ended up.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, in that game, that was exact. You know, I think we went pick and roll three or four times in a row, mm-hmm. and Powell just hit it. If teams are going to play off and not be able to guard that pick and roll, the Bulls are going to be able to take advantage of it. And that's been the entire season. And he always kind of talks about, you know, you know, players playing possum. You know, Powell looks a lot more aggressive on the boards in terms of blocking out. And he always talks about, you know, seeing him really work in the playoffs. And you saw that again today. The Bulls made a concerted effort to keep Tristan Thompson off the boards. And I think he only had 7 or 8 rebounds, and he played 37 minutes. And credit to Powell and the guys for, you know, stepping up and really keeping him off the boards.
For sure. The other thing we got to acknowledge, 2-day rest, Derek is back.
Yeah, Ricky was talking about this from Bloggable, and you know, a lot of people were talking about this from Bloggable. You know, Derek is just better when he plays on 2 days rest, and you saw it today. He came out fresh. I mean, how many points did he score in the first quarter? Maybe eight or nine, right?
I think it was even more than that. I know that at one point it was like Kyrie was 17, Derek was 16 or something like that.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, he hit a couple 3-pointers in the first quarter, and, you know, he followed it up in the second quarter with a couple looks. You know, he was good.
It was a nice mix of shot selection, right? You had the threes, you had the mid-range game, you had a couple points where he's attacking the basket, but he would not force it. Of course, in that aforementioned pick and pop with Gasol, he hit two, maybe three ridiculous step-back jumpers over LeBron, and it was like I forgot about the 2011 Eastern Conference Finals ever happened.
Yeah,
because those same shots were air balls in Miami.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, with a great player, you know, people talk a lot about shot selection, this and shot selection, that. Sometimes when you're great, you know, you can make up for poor shot selection, and Derek definitely did it. Now, the you know, trick or treat Derek, you know, the trick Derek was the Bulls had the ball, you know, two possessions. He got Tristan Thomas on a great switch, so shout out to Tibbs for getting that matchup. And, you know, he went over two, both really, really, really bad shots. Now, Tristan Thompson's pretty good at guarding the smaller defenders on that pick switch, but you want better possessions. And Derek just kind of blew it with those possessions, but, you know, Jimmy with the circus bailout shot, that third possession to give the Bulls a win.
Yeah, so let's look ahead to game two. What adjustments do you see the Cavs making?
Well, you know, the Cavs rolled the dice, rolling Mike Miller out there, kind of going small. Mike Miller ended up going, he was a negative 20 plus minus. Well, here's the interesting thing. You know, negative 20 plus minus, but only took three threes. Only took two threes, actually. So you may see the Cavs go quicker to Tristan Thompson, but he already played 37 minutes. Mm-hmm. The selection I see is trying to get better three-point shooters in there, getting Matthew Dellavedova in there, playing a couple more minutes, you know, getting James Jones. He only played about 8-9 minutes. James Jones getting 9 minutes because the Cavaliers really had a lot of good three-point looks. Whether it was by design or by lack of execution, they were getting a lot of good three-point looks, especially in the corners. Only shot about 27% from three. You got to think that they're going to improve that. You know, J.R. Smith obviously coming back in game three, didn't shoot the ball so well against Boston, but you got to think when you're talking about open three-point shots, you're talking about the quality of the shooter. You got to think that the Cavs are going to shoot a little bit better from there.
Yeah, you know, I was scrolling through Twitter right before the game, and I didn't want to, you know, make this public with a tweet because I felt like it was going to come off really arrogant and come back to haunt me. But I felt like if the biggest controversy or the biggest decision leading into a game was whether Mike Miller was going to start or not in 2015, meant that the Bulls had already won.
You know? Bulls. You're right. Go ahead.
No, it was just one of those things where, like, I really wanted to say that, but then I could have seen that, you know, coming back to haunt me, and Mike Miller was going to drop like five threes on us tonight.
Yeah. You know, it goes back to those old Cavaliers teams. It's funny because you kind of had, you know, Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. I guess, you know, LeBron didn't even have Kyrie Irving back then, but you have these two really great players and then not much else going on around them. So we'll see what happens, but, you know, the Bulls played well. I expect the Cavaliers to make some adjustments. I expect them to shoot better from the three-point line. It's tough to say you'll see more Tristan Thompson because he played 37 minutes, but yeah. We'll see. You know, the Bulls kind of got crushed anytime their starters weren't in the game. Right. So we'll see if the Bulls go with a little bit more Nico. But, you know, that's the situation right now.
It is encouraging because I felt like the biggest adjustment the Cavs could have made, and which they pretty much already made in this first game, was to go small, like we talked about, starting Mike Miller and letting LeBron act as a free safety on defense guarding Joe Kim. But even then, the Cavs weren't that effective, and the Bulls still managed to make them pay for that and create a lead.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but, you know, Tibbs, you know, went with Noah. You know, a lot of people were calling for Noah to be subbed out, especially when the Cavaliers went small. And that's really not Tibbs' game to kind of, you know, he will make adjustments, and he did make adjustments today. But I think Tibbs was of the thought that, you know, listen, you know, Kyrie's getting to the basket at will or has the potential to get to the basket at will. LeBron obviously has the potential to get the basket at will. I've got to stay big. I've got to keep that rebounding differential. Mm-hmm. I got to keep that rebounding advantage. I've got to keep Mask off the boards. I got to keep Thompson off the boards. And I got to make it tough for these finishers to finish. Right. And shout out to Noah. Shout out to Tibbs for staying the course.
Sticking to his guns.
And Noah, even though 0-for-4, wasn't horrible.
You know, I guess my biggest concern going into game two is that unless someone comes up with a rumor about his mom, LeBron is going to be more LeBron again.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like we joked about, he had 19-15-9, basically just missing a triple-double, and we thought that was a off game for him.
Yeah.
You alluded to it earlier. He's going to be in revenge mode. He's going to come out looking to really kill the Bulls. We kind of saw that the last time the Bulls were in this position in 2013. Bulls win game one in Miami. I think the next game they lost by 40-plus points.
Yeah.
So we'll see if the Bulls are able to kind of control that.
And we'll see. And, you know, the Bulls might not be able to control that, but that doesn't mean that the Bulls can't win this game. You know, and this Cleveland team just isn't as good as those Miami teams.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say this Chicago team is better than those Chicago teams, but we can't say that this Bulls team is different, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to see the situation where, you know, LeBron kind of just locks down Derek at the end of games, and that means the Bulls can't win. Right now, Derek Rose is the third best offensive player on the team. He really is the third best offensive player on the team. You know, definitely has a high usage, but he's the third best player on the team. If you take Derrick Rose out of the game, you're not killing the Bulls' offense. Mm-hmm. So this is just a different situation. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what's going to go on going forward. You know, the Bulls make, you know, LeBron work a little bit more on offense, and hopefully things go well for him.
That's what makes me cautiously optimistic about this series, is that LeBron is likely going to stick whoever's hot in the fourth quarter, whether that's Rose, which we are accustomed to, you know, having flashbacks to the 2011 Eastern Conference Finals. But if he tries to stick on Rose, then that means there's a mismatch, or we have an advantage in another matchup, whether that's Butler on Kyrie or Butler even on Dellavedova. I think Blatt had Dellavedova on Butler intentionally in the fourth quarter at one point. And I'm like, what is he doing? Jimmy's going to eat if that's the matchup.
Yeah, I feel like the Cavs are missing one perimeter defender.
Yeah.
One perimeter defender short against the Bulls.
And that's what's so encouraging about this series, is that they don't have the depth to match up well against the Bulls.
Yeah. Interesting. Taj Gibson, 28 minutes. What do you think about him?
I mean, he was okay. You know, he's your quintessential versatile defender, where, you know, if he gets caught up in a switch, he can stick with guards and stay in front of them and still contest them with his long wingspan. His performance tonight was kind of nondescript. You know, there's nothing that I would say really stuck out, good or bad, about Taj. As long as he's there cleaning up the glass and making it difficult for the Cavs to get into the paint, he's doing his job.
Okay.
Why, is there anything that stuck out to you about Taj?
Well, you know, I'm just looking at, you know, Taj played 28 minutes and Nico played 2. And I think that's one of the things that people will be talking about now. If the Bulls lost, I kind of talked about this on Twitter, you know, there's going to be a giant overreaction to the result. Like, either the Bulls won and people are going to feel really, really good, the Bulls are definitely going to win the series, or the Bulls lost and people will be saying that the Cavs are going to win in a sweep or win in five. So we didn't hear a lot of it today, but I think we will hear it going forward. What will the Bulls do with Nico? If the Bulls are going to play more Nico, you got to think those minutes are going to come out of Taj's minutes. Maybe a little bit about Joe Kim, but coming out mainly Taj's minutes. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that going forward.
Yeah, basically what I'd like to see the Bulls do differently is Tibbs can't have a lineup with both Kirk and Joe out there at the same time. You know, neither, I feel like, well, Joe a little bit more, but neither is really going to have that great of an impact defensively, and both just absolutely kill you on offense.
So were you okay with Tibbs' rotations today?
I was, with the exception of having Kirk and Joe out there at the same time. I would have rather had either Snell out there, who I think got a DNP for mm-hmm. Kirk, if Joe was in, or if Kirk's in, get Mirotić in there for Joe, spread the floor a little bit, have another offensive option out there. You can't be playing 3-on-5 when you have the ball on offense.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm okay with Kirk's fourth quarter minutes in this situation. I didn't really like Kirk's second and first quarter minutes. This is where I'll defend the fourth quarter minutes. If you're playing with a lead and most of your offense is going through Derek and Jimmy and Powell, a lot of high screen rolls for Powell and Derek, and a lot of isolations for Jimmy, I'm okay playing three with those guys, playing a Noah and playing a Kirk together, because you're really playing for defense.
Yeah.
And playing Kirk is just basically saying, I believe in Kirk's perimeter defense more than Snell and more than Dunleavy.
But who is he going to guard?
Well, in that situation, when they were closing with Dellavedova,
right,
or even playing Kyrie. I mean, Kyrie's getting to the basket on Derek anyway. He's going to get to the basket on you know Kirk. I mean, I think that's kind of the idea when you're protecting the league. Now, when you need offense and you're chasing the Cavs, I'm not for, you know, Kirk playing that many significant minutes. You know, you want Snell in there or you want Aaron in there. But protecting the lead, I don't think it's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be playing Kirk 15 minutes. But if I'm playing Kirk 0 minutes, I'm saying that with a lead, I guess that means I'm saying that, like, Snell or Dunleavy Jr. or Brooks are a significantly better defender than Kirk or better defender than Kirk by any stretch. And I don't really think that that's true, right? I think that it's a pretty even matchup defensive-wise between those two or between those three. So I don't hate Kirk playing those last couple possessions.
I think the biggest defensive adjustment that the Bulls might want to look into, and this is obviously easier said than done, is just force the ball out of Kyrie and LeBron's hands. Let guys like Dellavedova, I can't even say his name, that white guy, Dellavedova, Matt Miller, even Iman Shumpert, who shot a respectable 40% tonight from three, let those guys beat you. You know, there might be a series where LeBron and Kyrie win a game scoring 50 points each. I mean, they're just that unbelievable.
But how do you keep the ball in those guys' hands when they're bringing the ball up? I mean, like...
Right.
Like, are you going to be running double teams at them at the top of the key? Like, that seems like easier said than done, right?
It's definitely easier said than done. But when you have Kyrie coming off screens, you got to attack him. You got to trap him. Force the ball out of his hands. Rely on your great help defense to make the right rotations, and make, you know, Mozgov shoot a 20-footer. Make Miller, Dellavedova hit another 3-pointer or Shumpert as well. I just felt like watching tonight's game. Anytime I saw anyone not named LeBron or Kyrie shoot a jumper or shoot a shot, I was super comfortable with that and was confident that as long as the Bulls boxed out, they were going to stop the Cavs on that possession.
Yep. All right.
And when LeBron gets the ball in the post in an ISO situation, I think this might have been part design where Tibbs wanted to throw at him different looks where you didn't want to consistently throw a double team at him because then he might get comfortable. And, you know, we know LeBron has just elite playmaking skills, finding the open guy. But I think you want to almost be a little more aggressive at times, especially when they're looking to eat into that lead, sending the double team a little early, not wait till LeBron gets in the paint, then to come over with a double team. But, you know, again, much easier said than done because LeBron and Kyrie are just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing that I really took exception with, and maybe this speaks more to just how talented Kyrie Irving is, but this dude was getting into the lane at will, throwing up circus layups, which has really been his MO. He's probably one of the best, if not the best finisher at the rim. But I felt like the Bulls' interior defense was just so soft and not physical. I made the comment on Twitter that, you know, it wouldn't hurt to give Kyrie a good, clean, hard foul, you know, maybe a Kirk Heinrich tackle. Just to make him think twice about attacking the paint, because he would just get in there with little resistance and kind of finish. I guess he made it look a lot easier than it appeared, but made it look a lot easier than it seemed. But it just didn't seem that physical in the paint, and Kyrie was just getting whatever he wanted once he got into the lane.
So you're calling for, you know, back to old school days, getting the goons in there, getting the bear fouls in there, getting the Nazis in there, and knocking them down a little bit?
I don't need a Dunleavy MCW punch to the mouth, but, you know, show him that it's not just a red carpet down the lane, because, I mean, he was killing us. I mean, that's what got him going.
And By the way, did you see that fake Allen Iverson thing with LeBron stepping over Dunleavy Jr. when he tried to take the charge midcourt?
I vaguely remember that. I don't think it was that intense to really call out.
He did the fake step up. No, it wasn't like it wasn't a big play, but just like, he's such a clown. Like, he's such a clown dude. Like,
you know what? If I'm being completely objective to that, you know, if anyone deserved to be stepped over, it's probably Dunleavy.
Yeah, Dunleavy is, you know, people kind of got over Giannis, you know, for running Dinwiddie over. But, like, Dinwiddie is the king of the cheap shot.
He's such a low-key goon.
Yeah, he's such a low-key goon. Like, he's so good at it.
But he's our low-key goon.
Right? He's so good at doing it to where he's got that face where it's like, you know, I'm not mad. I'm not angry. He's, like, poking guys in the eye, you know. Like, he... Like, if there's a dude that's going to, like, nut-tap somebody on the Bulls, like, it's definitely going to be Dinwiddie. Like, I definitely see him pulling a Chris Paul, Julius Hodge, but you're right. So, you know, he's a cheap dude, but just like LeBron, come on.
Yeah. Clown.
Let's clown step over, bro.
Last thing that I'll say about something that the Bulls can do differently, which, you know, we talked about before, or maybe referenced it before, but when Tristan Thompson is the only Cleveland big on the floor, the Bulls have to always attack the rim.
Yeah.
They just can't settle. There were a couple of stretches there when the Cavs started making their runs, whether it was in the second quarter or even, I want to say, early fourth quarter, where the Bulls were just settling for jump shots. Yeah. You got to come off these screens hard. You got to try and take your guy off the dribble because we know that they don't really have too many perimeter guys that can stay in front of the ball handler. So even if the defense collapses, I'm not saying that every shot has to be, you know, a layup. If the defense collapses, kick it out to the open shooter.
Yeah, only six free throws between Derek, Jimmy, and Aaron Brooks. And actually, all six of those were lofted to Jimmy. So you got to think that the Bulls can attack the basket more and get a few more free throws.
Yeah. Let's wrap up with this. Do the Bulls get greedy and take another one in Cleveland Wednesday night?
Well, you know, obviously, not obviously, but I got on Twitter. I predicted the Cavs would win five. But
were you serious?
Yeah, I predicted the Cavs would win five.
Jesus.
But listen, in the same tweet, I gave my resume. And you know what my resume is, right?
Yeah, pretty much whatever you say, the opposite becomes true.
Yeah, Beasley over Rose. Andy Curry is going to be a star. So, you know, I you shouldn't be listening to me. Nothing I say comes true. Nothing is right. Hashtag not experts. Shout out to Nils. But I mean, this game proves to me that the Bulls can play with Cleveland. They just can't in Cleveland. You know, I thought the Bulls would be able to win some games at home, but that was a non-fluke game. That there was nothing in that game that you would say, okay, that's just never happening again. You did not see like a 18 for 23 Derek Knight. You didn't see, you know, Jimmy going off for 40 points. You just saw the Bulls beat Cleveland. There was nothing fluky about that game. So can they win again game two? I don't see why not.
Yeah, I guess my only concern is that the Bulls' three-point shooting has been pretty inconsistent throughout the season, and they shot 56% tonight. I don't know if they hit as many as efficiently Wednesday night, so I think that might be the only area of fool's gold with this game one victory.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've just never been so emotionally guarded and reserved about a Bulls playoff win, especially against LeBron, because we've seen how this movie ends with winning game one against LeBron.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
2011, 2013. I'm just not ready to get my hopes up to have my heart pulled out again. I remember thinking in 2011, you know, we're going to the finals. I'm not ready to make that proclamation just yet.
Yeah, I definitely understandable. This is going to be a contested close series. Cleveland's likely going to, you know, be, you know, a 5 or 6 point favorite going into tomorrow's game or going into when do we play next on Thursday?
Wednesday. We won't have 2 day rest, Derek.
We won't have 2 day rest, Derek. So that's a storyline right there. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I feel decent about the Bulls' chances to compete in game two. And, you know, you hold your home court. You're going to the Eastern Conference Finals against rather flawed team, whether that be Atlanta or Washington.
If we win Wednesday, you know, pretty much all bets are off. I'm ready to record another podcast where I'm, you know, jumping out of my seat. I might try to induce my wife into labor early so that the kid gets here sooner so I can make a finals game. I might have the postage ready for that bet I made during your bachelor party where I took the Bulls at 18-1 to win a championship.
The real loss was betting the Bulls to make the finals. What was that? Was that like 8-1?
I don't remember.
That would be a nasty bet right now, man.
I was gonna go hard or go home. I was gonna go for it all. I wasn't gonna settle on just making the finals. We were gonna win the chip. All right, Mitch, I think that'll do it. Congrats again on making the old ball and chain official.
All right. Glad, man. Thank you so much.
Glad you could fit a pod in before you begin your honeymoon.
Funny enough, this is really weird. You know, me and Melissa created our own vows.
How'd that go?
It went fine, but Melissa, there was like almost like a little bit of a roast going on. And
it get a little comfortable?
Yeah. In our wedding, Melissa made fun of both mine and Derek Rose's knees.
Oh, too soon. How dare she? I hope you signed the prenup.
Yeah, right? So shots fired at both my ACL problems and Derek's ACL problems. So that's a little bull show tie-in to the wedding.
Well, if she can joke about the bulls, it sounds like she's a keeper. So send the missus my regards.
All right, man.
And hopefully by the time you come back from honeymoon, we'll be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, it's going down.
All right, well, give Mitch a follow at Mitch Don't Lie. Give me a follow at The Bull Show. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and make sure to also check us out on Bloggable and Go Where Hip Hop. For Mitch, I'm Nils. We'll catch you guys next time.
Peace.
Bullshit.